Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is Chat Missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
What's up, everybody? It's Tuesday. It's scorecard. It's playoff time. Shane Bacon, Patrick Donald, Johnson Wagner. We're going to get to a lot today. We got Michael Brennan obviously winning, kind of keeping the run of the youngsters going. We're going to get into Blocky and all the drama that follows that man around. We'll give our picks out for the FedEx St. Jude. There's a lot to talk about, but I want to start with this, Wags. I heard a soundbite over the weekend during the broadcast of the Wyndham, and I got a little nugget from Colt Nosta I had not heard before. We can roll the tape.
By the way, Trevor, you know who else did that? Our very own Johnson Wagner back in 2017. And believe it or not, Johnson is tied for the most double eagles in PGA Tour history with Tim Petrovic with 3.
That's crazy.
Good shooting, Johnson.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Colt.
I had to do some very deep research to find that.
I had not heard this nugget before. I didn't know that you were tied for the all-time lead in double eagles. Can you take us through tournaments, holes, clubs, all that good stuff?
For sure. I don't think any of them were caught on camera, unfortunately. But my first one actually came on the Korn Ferry Tour, so I have 4. It was in somewhere in Minnesota the week after I got married. It was a 3-wood first hole today from like 250. My first on the PGA Tour was in Jackson, Mississippi, when we used to play Annandale Golf Club. It was on the 7th hole. It was a 3-iron. My second was the one at Wyndham Championship on 5. It was a 5-iron, and it went up the slope just like I planned, just like Davis Thompson's, and came down. Same hole location. And then my last one was 15 Sea Island Golf Club at the RSN Classic, front pin, really cool par 5, 3-wood again. It landed, and I could actually see it hop in. It was very cool.
So that's 4 total. Do you have them? Do you have any recreational ones, or those are all obviously tournament ones?
They're all tournament ones, and I've never had a hole in one in competition, but I have 13 hole in ones otherwise. So it's what's going on.
Get out of here.
The double eagles are very special.
Are we calling them double eagles?
Albatross, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I'm pro albatross over double eagle. To me, double eagle sounds like it should be 4 under as opposed to 2 under. Right?
That's a good point.
I have a rule on this. If Augusta National calls it a double eagle, I call it a double eagle. That's kind of my rule, and that's kind of the place I stand alongside. But, I mean, people are chirping that on social media. But I heard that over the weekend, and I thought we could at least open the show with the Wags. That's incredible, man. Very, very good with the 3-wood is what I'm assuming.
I've used maybe three my entire professional career, and the three wins the club that stays in the bag the longest.
Yep, three woods at hybrids. Let's transition to a youngster that got a win on the PGA Tour once again. Patrick, this is a kid that, you know, last year he wasn't on the Korn Ferry Tour, playing PGA Tour America. Nobody knew a lot about Michael Brennan. Wins three times on PGA Tour Americas, you know, gets opportunity in the fall on the PGA Tour, wins there, skips the Korn Ferry Tour, and then picks up, obviously, his biggest win. I love that Jim Nantz said not a lot of people watched the win in Utah because football was on. Not the case with the Wyndham Championship. And Brennan getting the victory was incredible over the weekend. Continues the run, Patrick, of the youngsters winning. And this kid is kind of that new age player that bombs it. And when he makes putts, he's going to contend in golf tournaments.
And it seems like he's added some shots to his bag, too, with the wedge play in particular. And I think what I'm most impressed with for Brennan is we've seen a lot of guys play some high-quality golf over a stretch of time this year. Think about Ludwig, Sam Burns, Siwoo Kim. You got to be able to capitalize when you've got your A game over a month or so. And so to go from the 3M Open, where he played poorly the final round, Rocket Classic didn't have his A game that Sunday too, and to learn from those two rounds and those experiences and then put it all together at the Wyndham Championship at only 24 years of age, I was really impressed with. And it's an added bonus that he's from Northern Virginia, Northern Virginia's finest. So it's always good when one of the good guys wins, but thoroughly impressed with his game and kind of the wedge shots and the distance control that he had out there at Sedgefield, especially during that run of five straight birdies on the front nine.
Yeah, it's a good point about the capitalizing on your opportunity, Johnson. You think about 2026 as a whole, and it feels like kind of been the year where players haven't capitalized on their stretches of good play. I mean, Colin Morikawa gets, what, that one win during his great run and then has the injury. You think about Ludwig earlier in the season. I mean, even Rory with the one win. Scotty has been so close. And you got this kid and Michael Brennan that in the last year has won two times on the PGA Tour. Think about so many names we talk about that we expect to contend and win. And this kid is doing it in this kind of era of the youngster kind of bucking a bit.
He's incredibly impressive with his driver, with his ball striking. And it's been the putter that's really kind of held him back. If he gets hot, he wins like we saw at Black Desert. And going into the 3M Open, he was 125th strokes gained putting. Exiting last week at Wyndham, he's moved all the way up to 94th. He's been putting in a ton of time with the putter, and it is showing off. And I was actually on the call for the Bank of Utah Championship last fall, and a young man named Colin Adams, who I watched grow up play at Quail Hollow, he was Michael Brennan's teammate at Wake Forest. And I reached out to him Saturday night, just like, give me some nuggets, give me some color on this guy. And he said he's never been around a more competitive person in his life than Michael Brennan, to the point where they started playing poker their junior year. And Mike Brennan bought three or four poker books, and it immediately made himself an expert on Texas Hold'em. Also, he had this economics major where they'd have a cornhole tournament every year. He dominated, acted like it was the Super Bowl. So this Michael Brennan, don't be surprised if you see him continuing this success. Like when I saw him win the way he won in Utah, I was picking him to be on the President's Cup team this year. Now, granted, I think he's like 31 right now, but if he makes a playoff run, we talked about Koivin, we talked about Thor Bjornsson. Mike Brennan's now won twice. If he gets hot in the playoffs, man, he's given Brant Snedeker some things to think about. All three of these winners these last 3 weeks have.
And Wags, it feels like a golf course kind of going ahead to the President's Cup. It feels like a golf course that would play well into Brennan's skill set, obviously being able to bomb it. I mean, you think about pairing up with a guy like that, incredible ball striker, who at times can be streaky with a putter. I mean, he's kind of one of those dream guys if you're a veteran player looking for somebody to play alongside.
He would be an amazing better ball partner. I'd love to play alternate shot. I mean, shoot, let me go hit some wedges from his tee balls. Oh, that'd be a blast.
Scorecard's back this weekend, Wags. We might have to have you hit a couple of wedge shots if Brennan gets himself back in contention. Just a little plug for our weekend show. Patrick, what do you make of the run of the young wins? Because it felt like the topics the last year and a half we've had on this show, both with and without Wags, has been about the 40-somethings and their ability to continue to contend. Adam Scott's kind of had a sneaky year. Justin Rose, obviously, with the win. Brant Snedeker, Gary Woodland. And then all of a sudden, all these young guys are winning. What are you making of this run late in the year?
I think it's just the ebbs and flows of it. And maybe you could say that there's some added energy level. We heard Brennan talk about how he didn't want to sit on his couch going into the postseason, and that this is now, I think, seven in a row for him. And this is, you have to remember, someone who made all four cuts in the major championships too, which I don't think we can gloss over. That's really impressive in his first go around in the major championships, being one of 14 players to do so. It may be some iron sharpening iron. We heard Thor Bjornsson talk about after Koivin's win how that motivated him going into the Rocket Classic. And so you have all these guys who have played together coming up. Akshay Bhatia, another one who won earlier in the season, who hasn't really played the best golf as of late. But just seeing these guys, seeing your peers who you grew up winning, it kind of, one, motivates you, and two, I think, gives you an added belief being, or at least knowing, like, hey, if this guy can do it, I've been playing with him forever, I can do it too.
And I mean, I think we talk about the young guys a lot, Patrick. Ben James is somebody I think we've discussed, but maybe haven't, you know, dove as deep as maybe we have with some of those other guys. I'd say Ben James, of all that young crop right now, is playing the most consistent golf, obviously finishing third with that final round 61.
Yeah, he's been awesome this year. And I think what's been really cool to see for Ben James is when you do the reverse claw, you don't start from that point. And so we all know this guy was a tremendous iron player in college in the amateur rank, but he has been putting unbelievable so far in his very short PGA Tour career. And to shoot, what, two rounds under 62 there this week at the Wyndham Championship kind of shows you the ceiling that he has. He had that 36-hole lead at the Canadian Open, too. It's a shame that his season had to come to an end early, obviously, in limited starts. But if you're looking for a potential winner this fall, Ben James has to be probably at the top of the list at this point.
I keep hoping, and I know it's not going to happen, Wags. We talk so much about the President's Cup. I feel like it's kind of that time of the year where we don't have a boatload to talk about. Obviously, we got the playoffs upcoming. We don't know how that's going to shake out. I think we'll talk more format as we get a little closer to East Lake. But I think the focus right now has been on those bottom four or five names on both the American side of the President's Cup and the international side. I think about these young guys, and I mean, for Brand Snedeker, obviously, he wants to go out and win when you're the captain. But I think about the interest in the event. If you decided to take a flyer on Thor Bjornsson and Koivin, and even maybe grab Brennan if he had a couple more great finishes, and potentially put together the young team that might be a part of the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup over the next decade.
I mean, you look at J.J. Spahn, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. J.J. Spahn, is the majority of his points came from the 2025 season with his win at the U.S. Open and his great play at the Players Championship. I want the guys that are racking up these points in 6, 7, 8 starts that are fresh and are hot leading into this tournament. And they would give their right arm to be a part of that team. I think some of the old guard, you know, when you play Ryder Cups and President's Cups every year for 12, 13 seasons, and the U.S. has never lost a President's Cup. And I'm speaking out of turn here, because I know that's not how the American team feels, but it would be nice to get some guys that would just do anything to be there and get that experience.
Patrick, should we throw out you and I's rules we talked about this weekend about the President's Cup? Because I liked both of them. mine was, Wags, you shouldn't be allowed to be on a President's Cup team if you played the previous Ryder Cup. And Patrick had a good one as well. Patrick, was yours the no 30-year-olds?
No, no one in your 30s is allowed on the team.
it's kind of like under 18 basketball, you know, when you get to the World Championships. Like, I like the idea of you either got to be young or relatively old in professional golf. But Wags, do you like either of those or hate them both?
I mean, I don't hate them both, but it would sure be sad to not see Scottie Scheffler, who's clearly the number one player in the world, be at a President's Cup. I mean, I gotta have Scheffler, and I mean, you can't leave all 12 Ryder Cuppers from 25 off of that team.
All right, you get 2 30-year-olds you can pick. That's part of the captain's pick process. So then Scottie can make
here. I'll give you this one. If you finish in the top six, I don't care who you are, you're on the team. But if you're a captain's pick, you cannot be picked from the previous Ryder Cup team. How about that?
See?
Compromise.
See, there you go. That's why we float stuff at Wags, because then he obviously makes it look a little better. Some other guys that played well, Bo Hostler, I think it was his 252nd start on the PGA Tour, still looking for that first victory. Came so close, also missed all in playoffs. I think he finished 72nd on the list. Kevin, you played well. Harry Hall, my guy. Guy Patrick, a top five. Hideki, another great week. We're going to talk about Hideki later when we get to picks. I did want to talk about Brooks Koepka because it's been a strange year for Brooks Koepka, obviously returning to the PGA Tour, struggled once again. And he talked about his year after the round. I believe we have some sound from Brooks.
Ball struck great. It's just all in the greens. I don't know what the deal is. Got zero confidence. Can't pop. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of changes here soon.
How disappointed are you to not advance to the playoffs?
Disappointed. I think it's pretty pathetic that I can't get through. Zero top tens basically in 2 years. So that's to be in the prime of your career and be as good as I think I am. I think that's very pathetic, disappointing. Need to go home and completely reevaluate everything.
You know, Wags, in an era, if you will, of the pro golfer kind of deflecting, I got to give Brooks a lot of credit, not just for this soundbite, but Brooks has been extremely honest about his golf game. You think about a few years ago battling with Rahm at the Masters, and he talked about needing to make some changes after that. Obviously wins the PGA that year. But this is a guy that will point at himself when it's not going his way. And I feel like that's rare these days with pro golfers.
And I'm happy for him to be back on the PGA Tour and sounding like that and hopefully getting to work this fall. And it's been crazy. He's hit the nail on the head. His ball striking's fine. The putting's been atrocious. I walked with him at Torrey Pines, and he had that Scotty Cameron Trillium putter that we've seen him win those five major championships with. And then he went to different putter after different putter all year long. And when you think about the best putters in the world that are consistently good putters, they rarely change. So I would love to see if he's going to make a change, go back to that Trillium, put the time in on the greens, do some proper drills to get your stroke in the right track. It'd be like looking at Tiger Woods using a mallet putter. It just doesn't make sense.
Oh man, Tiger almost won that PGA at Bellerive. We'll get to next week with that weird Nike mallety kind of putter back in the day. And it was strange to watch. I didn't love it. I wanted him to put the gamer back in. And of course he didn't, win the Masters the very next year. Patrick, I know you were fist pumping. You love any player that throws a blade back in the bag.
I mean, they're a dying breed out there. We're losing guys like Maverick McNealy and Ludvig Åberg. There aren't many left. And the guys who are left, thank God for Matt Fitzpatrick and the year he's had, because the only other blade I can think of right now is Jordan Spieth, and all of his tracker accounts want him to get rid of that club. So we'll see. I'm with Wags, though. I think Brooks should put it back in the bag and look more towards the mechanics of his putting stroke than trying to find a new wand.
Patrick, I did want to ask about the prime of his career statement with Brooks. I mean, he hadn't won. His last win on LIV, obviously, before coming back to the PGA Tour was 2 years ago. It was August of 2024. Obviously, not really in contention at any big golf tournament this year. Most of his good finishes came at opposite field events. Where are you at in terms of Brooks saying prime of his career?
Well, the prime was obviously when he was winning those four major championships in a very short span. But to say that Brooks Koepka can't win another major championship, I think would be out of bounds. I think he still has major championship golf in him. I'm not too sure what happened there towards the end of the season in general, pulling out of these tournaments, whether it was physical or personal or what was happening outside the golf course. But it did seem like he was garnering some momentum there in Canada. And then he had the injury, and then it just really derailed the rest of his season. So I know Brooks probably isn't in his prime, but I think he still has some prime golf left in him.
Prime is what we're saying. So double or triple prime for Koepka is kind of time. Where we sit. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a lot of other stuff that happened in golf this week. We've got to talk about Joaquin Niemann winning again on LIV and kind of where Joaquin Niemann's career is headed as he's just 27 years of age. We got blocky top. You got a lot more. Don't go anywhere.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on the scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Back here on Scorecard, we're going to dive into the world of golf that wasn't the PGA Tour as we take a moment to break away from what's going to be FedEx Cup playoff talks here in just a bit. Joaquin Niemann, fellas, got another win on LIV. Wags, do you know how many that is? Do you know the total number of that for Niemann?
Nine times.
Nine victories for the guy. Who knows how much money he's made? I mean, he wins all the time. Patrick, I was looking up, just 27 years old. We've been sitting here talking about all the youth in professional golf. Niemann obviously turning pro early and has picked up a lot of wins worldwide at this point. I think he leads LIV in individual victories with nine, trying to get to 10. I believe he led wire to wire at Trump Bedminster, which was playing extremely difficult all week for everybody involved. He got to 16 under par. But I was thinking, Patrick, about this guy. He won at RIV the year he decided to go to LIV, right? He wins the biggest event of his career, goes to LIV. The performances in the majors haven't been there. But are you disappointed that we don't get prime Joaquin Niemann on the PGA Tour battling it out when we're kind of looking for those young superstars? Or do you think Joaquin Niemann is comfortable and happy in the LIV world, making all this money and winning golf tournaments left and right?
I'm disappointed. I don't think he is, like you mentioned. After that win at RIV over Cam Young and Morikawa and Hovland, I'm like, this is going to be awesome for the next wave. And then he darts out. I thought I had Niemann as at the time, if you want to see how much over the skis I was like, this guy's going to win the Grand Slam one day. I loved his game. And then maybe the Grand Slam of LIV Golf with nine wins. His win rate the last 4 years is 24%. It's almost a quarter of the time.
Wow.
He's winning a golf tournament, which is pretty impressive no matter what tour you're on. But I think when he looks at his bank account every single night, he's more than happy with the decision he made. Even if someone like myself wishes he was playing on the PGA Tour, wishes he was playing for real golf tournaments, let's call a spade, because could either of you guys name all nine of his wins on LIV Golf?
No, I mean, no chance, 0%. Yeah. No chance we'd be able to do that. You know, it is interesting with kind of that youth movement with international players, Wags, because I do think the international player, like that young stud, you think about Adam Scott and Sergio back in the day, Justin Rose, I feel like when they buck, it brings a whole continent kind of interested in what they're going to do in pro golf. And not to say the continents aren't interested in what Joaquin Niemann is doing on LIV, but I just feel like post-RIV, we were all excited to see what would unfold with him and if he was going to be that next international player to have massive success, maybe win major championships. And obviously, we haven't seen him have success at the majors, and the wins have come on a tour that maybe we don't pay as much attention to as we do the other one.
And I think it would be huge for youth golf, not only in Chile, but also all of South America. I mean, you see what Camilo Villegas and his run has done for golf in Colombia. Sebastian Munoz following him. I just feel like the biggest disappointment for Joaquin Niemann, who's most disappointed, is the International President's Cup team. Because he would have been a force at Quail Hollow, a force at Royal Montreal. And I wish more than anything we could see him play in Chicago this year. And I just feel like you look at all those young internationals and what it's done to the President's Cup, but that's also maybe a fault of the President's Cup being owned by the PGA Tour. And, you know, these guys don't have the allegiance to the PGA Tour as we feel like they should as Americans. So, I mean, I don't fault those guys as much. It just pains me because would love to see them play more over here. And the fact of the matter is most of them live over here anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom half of the international team, I mean, you talk about potential for an all-time, you know, runaway for the Americans, kind of a little bit like what we felt with the Europeans last year. I mean, there's guys in the top 20 on the international side that most golf fans have never even heard of. So the fact that you're missing out on a Joaquin Niemann or a Herbert or somebody like that, who I think could actually, you know, help that team, you know, potentially compete and contend, is a bit of a bummer for everybody that roots for team golf. Wags, I do want to talk Blocky. The guy made one swing, what was that, 3-4 years ago, and he has never left our lives, and we get more Blocky controversy, I'll say, this weekend.
Yeah, and sorry to bring this up, but it was the PGA Legends Tour over in Europe, and he's playing at a, you know, Trump property in Aberdeen up in the northeast coast of Scotland. It's the final round. He shows up late, gets a penalty on the first tee, and then goes out, shoots 43, walks off the course after the 12th hole. Now, he's come out and said that he told his playing partners, and there's been a lot of back and forth here, but it's officially a disqualification. And what I have a real problem about this is he was on a sponsor exemption. And as someone who's played off sponsor exemptions on the PGA Tour a few times here at my home course at Quail, other places like Sony Open in Hawaii, where I've won Mayakoba, I've had a handful. When you're a sponsor exemption, you do all the right things, okay? That includes finishing the golf tournament and not disqualifying yourself or WDing. He claims that it was an injury and he found somebody to give him a ride in, but he's also scheduled to play on a sponsor exemption in Seattle this week on the Champions Tour. Those opportunities, if you continue to behave that way and disrespect the tournament as a whole, are going to go away, and they should go away.
I mean, everything you say, I echo. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, Patrick. I mean, you're a guy, Patrick, that has spent a minute or two on the internet. Does this hurt Blocky in the long run, or is he just going to continue to live on, if you will?
Look, Blocky is exactly who we thought Blocky is. This is the name of the game. This is the Block show. You're going to get the good. You're going to get the bad. You're going to get everything in between. We wouldn't even be talking about this tournament if it wasn't for Michael Block. And I'm sure we wouldn't be talking about next week's Champions Tour if it wasn't for Michael Block, too. And so I'm with you, Johnson. I think whenever you make yourself bigger than the event, you lose me personally as a golf fan. But it's been a few years of this, as you mentioned, Shane, and based on the PGA pros I've talked to, it's been much longer when it comes to Michael Block, too. And so you call a spade, and that's Michael Block right now. You take the good with the bad.
Take the good with the bad. If only he drove it like Rory, Michael Block would probably have the career grand slam, and maybe wouldn't have to rely on sponsors' invites. But that is the Michael Blocky situation that we find ourselves in here in 2026. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to dive into FedEx Cup playoffs, talk about the changes to East Lake and the format there, and just preview what we're excited about with Top 70 and beyond. Back here on Scorecard, where everybody's killing it. I mean, on camera, off camera, support, everybody just crushing this show on this Tuesday as we get set for the playoffs. FedEx Cup playoffs obviously kick off this week. We got FedEx St. Jude Championship, TPC Southwind, Top 70, then cut to Top 50, BMW Championship, Bellerive in St. Louis. We'll obviously end with the Tour Championship Top 30 at East Lake. No staggered start this year. Fellas, what are you most excited about? Patrick, I'll start with you as we get into these playoffs.
That's a tough one, Shane. There's so many on the list, multiple pages to go through for this one. But I'm going to say Rory McIlroy playing 3 weeks in a row. He has not done it in 2026. And that assumes he's going to play in the BMW Championship. We don't know yet. Obviously, that field list comes out on Friday. But I was surprised to see him commit to Memphis. Obviously, a tournament he didn't play in last season. And the year before that, I think he finished almost dead last, and that was kind of the reason he didn't play in the 2025 tournament. So interesting to see what Rory can do with some competitive reps under his belt, because I think his game has sort of lacked some sharpness over the weekend and round threes in particular, for whatever reason, over the last handful of months. So that's number one on my book.
I mean, it's a long way from Ibiza, but we're going to be we're excited to long see way. Rory back
well,
playing.
The thing is, Memphis is a great place to sweat out Ibiza, some grease, sweat that out, and then you get ready for St. Louis and East Lake. I think that's why he's going to Memphis.
You'll be sweating there as well. Wags, beside you packing a few extra polos as you head out to Southwind, what are you excited about for this week?
Well, I mean, just getting the top 70. I know Daniel Berger's not in the field. Well, the only one, so it's 69. Just getting the top players in consecutive weeks this time of year, obviously post-Open Championship, it gets a little bit slower. So I think having all those top players now, I think going forward in years to come, when they get this structure sort of set, we may go to some cooler climates. That's going to be nice. But as far as off the course goes, I'm looking forward to barbecue. I'm gonna sample some Memphis barbecue. Germantown yep. Commissary is my favorite in town. I don't really know much about St. Louis barbecue. I'm looking forward to that. And then Georgia is a little bit more vinegar-based, a little bit more like North Carolina. So I'm going to get my palate fully immersed in barbecue during the playoffs.
Wow.
We, We're going to need, so let's remember this. Somebody remind me of this because I'll forget. But post-playoffs, we need WAGs to give us the full rating, the rankings and the ratings of favorite to maybe least favorite, if even least favorite is the term there. But, I mean, that's the point of travel, man. Just grub out, go out there, do your job, sweat a little bit, sweat the meats out when you're done with it, and you'll be rocking and rolling. Patrick, do you expect Rory to play well, I guess is my question.
I expect him to play well in two out of the three. I think he knocks the rust off this week, and then he gets going at the BMW in Eastlake. I know I was being somewhat tongue in cheek, but I am excited to see him actually play a run of golf here. He has not done this for the entire season. His last PGA Tour event in the U.S. was what, the Memorial, but before the U.S. Open, and so just to see him kind of go from week to week to week, understand what he did the previous week, learn from it, kind of hone in his game a little bit more. Yeah, I am excited. And with Rory, you always expect him to play well.
Yeah, I think he's played six events since the Masters. I think there's an argument to be made that there are two of the three people on this show have played more golf than Rory McIlroy since the Masters.
I'm close.
And that would be Johnson Wagner and myself. No chance it's Patrick. Patrick's the two rounds.
The tip worked. The tip worked last weekend, by the way.
You're in.
Yeah.
Patrick, what are the numbers you're firing right now? Are you around par right now with this?
Let's not talk about that. We're working through some stuff in the swing. Par five scoring is a major, major problem area right now. We shot 76 though this past weekend.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you got the
two over on the par fives. Like,
That's tough. See, you know what? You and Rory are alike. Rory struggled in the par five this year. Patrick McDonald struggling on the par fives this year, but he's back. He's ready. He's going to be playing some golf. Just some names that missed the playoffs. I think notable names. Keegan obviously came close. Jason Day missed out. Brooks, as we talked about earlier. Tony Finau, Patrick, I believe, ended a crazy streak that he's been on in terms of making the playoffs. And a reminder of the last five FedEx Cup champions. Tommy last year, Scotty, Victor Hovland. Remember that run he was on in 2023. Rory in 22, and Patrick Cantlay was your FedEx Cup champion in 2021. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're talking Memphis. We're talking TPC Southwind specifically, and then we're going to get into some of our picks as we get set for the first of the three playoff events. Back here on Scorecard, before we get into Memphis and TPC Southwind, Wags, I had to ask you, did you see KFT stuff this past weekend? Did you see Sunday what happened there?
59 for the win. So is that back-to-back 59s in Korn Ferry Tour events? It's amazing, Shane.
Yeah, Frankie Harris makes about a 20-footer on 18 to shoot 59. Alistair Daugherty, who already had a win this season, finishes with four straight birdies. He shot 28 on the back to get into a playoff. There's an argument to be made that maybe the best golf of the entire weekend was happening on the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, the fact that these guys are capable of clutching up and making these putts down the stretch continues to amaze me. But so we saw another 59 on KFT. Obviously that 50 number will be important as players get set for this week. Top 70 cut down to top 50. We get to TPC Southwind. Wags, you've been out to Southwind. Have you played TPC Southwind?
Please. It was one of my majors back in the day when it was in June. It was a tournament I knew I was going to get in every year. I played Southwind probably up to 10, 12 events there. And it's a great golf course. When they went from Bentgrass to Bermuda, I think it was 2005, the winning score went from like 30 under to 5 under par. Now it's gotten a little bit easier as the ball continues to travel further and further. It's a really cool golf course that punishes, sort of like Sedgefield, it punishes wayward tee shots. So you've got to put the ball in play out there. The greens have softened over the years because I don't believe they've redone them in a while, but if they can get those greens firm, if there's not any rain, it is a wonderful second shot golf course. And it's in as similar to Sedgefield, it shrinks everybody into the same spot. And I think that's one of the reasons Rory McIlroy doesn't really love that golf course, because it takes driver out of his hand on so many of the holes. It's probably, I think you'd see maximum of five, more like 3 to 4 drivers for Rory around Southwind.
Look at some of those players that are looking to maybe move inside the top 50 this week. You got Jackson Koivun at 70 on the number, obviously going to need to play very solid. I think he needs a top 7 or better to move into that top 50. I think that's at worst in theory. Jordan Spieth, Patrick, a guy that you had a viral tweet go around about him sneaking into the playoffs. What was the thing you had about Spieth?
Only player to make the playoffs without a top 10 finish. But only Spieth would do that. I'm hoping he goes T11, T11, somehow makes the tour championship, and then wins it all.
I kind of want him to sweep the playoffs. I kind of want Spieth to go no top 10s, win all three events, win the FedEx Cup. And then, of course, then we get the long run of no golf as we head into the next season. I think that'd be fun. But Spieth at 54, Sungjae Im at 53. Some of those guys just inside the top 50 wags. Matt McNeely's 50, Keith Mitchell 49, Brennan's 47. He was 105 going into the week last week and getting the win. So I'd say some big names floating inside that top 50, needing some consistent golf this week to stay inside that number.
For sure. But there's one thing about the playoffs since they've gone to 70, 50, 30 is the fact that there's not much volatility. Even though there's 70 players, I really wish they'd cut to 45 in ties, because it forces you to play hard, especially those first couple days. Like Rory McIlroy a couple years ago, I know he was way out in front, but he would have missed the cut and it would have had, taken points away. I just think there's got to be a punishment for not playing well in Memphis. And for so many guys, I think the average has been what, 3, maybe 4 guys have climbed their way in from FedEx to BMW. And for a playoff format, it's just not quite enough volatility for me.
Would like to see a little bit more movement. Is there anybody, Patrick, you're kind of focused on in terms of those players around that 50 number that you hope can play their way into top 50 and continue their year?
I want to hear what Wags thought of Koivun coming down the stretch there at the Wyndham Championship. I know you were on the call, a different type of pressure for the kid.
It was amazing. The back nine, it was a totally different guy than I saw Saturday at the 3M Open. Saturday at the 3M, he had this sort of bounce in his step and was in his own head. He looked at every single leaderboard for at least a minute until his name popped up with a projected number that entire back nine. You could see him with his iron play was a little tight. He was hanging on to the steering wheel a little bit. Now, it's so relative for him coming in. I think he needs a two-way tie for seventh or better at a minimum to get into the top 50. Probably when it's all said and done and other people are getting points, because everybody's getting points, probably needs a solo top 5 finish. I think that's going to be a much more comfortable position for him to be in, knowing he's got to go out and play great golf. And I think it was a relief for him to get through that Saturday and Sunday and move on to the playoffs.
Yeah, a little shaky iron shot into 18 there, but a nice two-putt for Koivun to get it done on the number. Obviously, I think for all of us who are hoping or rooting for youth on that President's Cup team, Koivun and Brennan both playing well this week would go a long way. Obviously, to Johnson's point, Koivun needs something special to move into next week and beyond. But it'd be fun to see. He's been kind of a breath of fresh air, if you will, on the PGA Tour late in the year, getting a chance to follow Koivun around and see his journey after turning professional. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to give out our picks. They've been hot all season long. They're going to remain Memphis hot here as we get set for the playoffs.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You ever heard the story of Harry? He was a legend around here. Until one afternoon, he left and never came back. Turns out, Harry went and made himself a website using Squarespace. Used Squarespace domains to buy artisanseatcushions.com. And he built a beautiful site with an online store to sell his artisan seat cushions. Now Harry's sitting on a fortune. And if our Harry can do it, anyone can. Build your business at squarespace.com. Use offer code EVERYTHING for 10% off your website or domain.
Back here on Scorecard, going to get to FedEx St. Jude picks here in just a minute. But before we do that, Patrick, you think about kind of important weeks for players, maybe more than even what fans care about. This feels like one of those weeks, players trying to push themselves into the top 50. Such an important week for those players that are sitting around that number or just outside of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And some bigger names, I think, this year more than previous years, with Max Homa, Sung J.M., Jordan Spieth, all right on the immediate outside looking in. And someone like Spieth, of course, who's been receiving his fair share of criticism for sponsor exemptions, it would be nice for him to kind of make his way into the top 50 and secure the signature events for next year. But Max Homa is someone I'm keying in on, Shane. I know he's your boy, just has struggled a lot these past few seasons. We've seen glimpses of it here and there, like the John Deere Classic. And I think him sneaking in the top 50 would be awesome for the game.
Yeah, we were texting today about the 76ers Lakers on Christmas Day. So obviously he's locked in and ready.
Mentally, he's good.
I mean, that's kind of, he's just there. He's ready to go. He was asking if it's in Philly or LA, you know, which one's closer, if we were going to leave our families on Christmas and go watch basketball. Decided that's probably not the move to do on one of the biggest kid days of the year. Wags, in terms of pressure for these players with the changes coming to the PGA Tour, I mean, I think about the pressure of trying to get a PGA Tour card for next season. But for those players maybe later in their careers that are trying to pick up a few more bucks or secure more starts for next year and all the opportunity that comes with that, this, over maybe St. Jude events in the past, this feels like as important a one as we faced.
And you just described who I want to talk about perfectly, and that's Keith Mitchell, a one-time winner on the PGA Tour with so much talent. He and his wife just had their first baby this summer. Keith Mitchell has played so much because he was just on the outside looking in last year, and he played just good enough that that carrot is dangling, and he gets into a signature event. He gets into the PGA Championship. He's coming in at, 48, 49? If Keith can go ahead and secure that top 50, he said that it has been the toughest year of his career because he hasn't been able to plan his schedule. So if he can get top 50, plan that schedule, and then going in, being uncertain of what it takes to finish to get on the championship series in 28 next year, this top 50 is absolutely massive. This is going to be a huge week for a lot of players.
Wags, when did you start scheduling out the next year when you were playing? Like, when did the scheduling breakdown stuff happen for you?
Well, I had maybe one or two good enough years that I knew I was in all the invitationals going into the next season. Otherwise, it was me playing into them. And that's what I mean about the carrot dangling on the PGA Tour. Pretty much no matter what level you're at, unless you're top 50 in the world, you are looking at your schedule week by week.
Yeah, I remember talking to Matt McCarty a couple of years ago and Brennan last year. And it's, you do something that changes what the next year looks like. And it isn't just the excitement of it, but then obviously you've got to plan out what the year is going to look like. And obviously some of the tournaments you want to play and finding rest. I mean, Patrick, I do think something I've noticed more this year than years past is that rest thing. It feels like more guys are playing 5, 6, 7 weeks in a row during these stretches to get as many points and money as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. You just got to play when you can, because you're not in all the signature events, which we've seen have been clumped up. And so these guys, you think about the major championships and when those signature events have come about, the Masters in the RBC Heritage, the US Open as well, into the Travelers Championship too. And because of that, guys might have a couple weeks off in a row, and they got to make their living when they have an opportunity to play. And so that's why you're seeing guys play 5, 6, 7 in a row.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of an exhausting end of the season as we get into FedEx St. Jude Championship. We might as well do our picks. And Wags, I'm going to start with you in terms of what I think is my favorite part of the show. Who is not going to win this week?
Well, I'm going to start with Rory McIlroy. He doesn't like the golf course. He hasn't played in forever. He's probably using it to shake off a little rust, like Patrick said. There's no chance Rory McIlroy wins this week. Also, Jordan Spieth. I mean, watching him last week play a similar golf course in Sedgefield, trying to overpower it with drivers, and it was like army golf. He'd miss one way right, and then he'd miss one way left, and he was getting away with it for a while, and then a double comes up on Sunday on 11. And then my final guy is Wyndham Clark. Wyndham is still celebrating the U.S. Open victory, has not shown me anything since then. I think he's going to wilt in the Memphis humidity. Now, that being said, I think he's going to be a big part of the President's Cup team, and I see him being on my can win list, maybe come Atlanta.
Oh, man, come on. He had made a can win list of yours all season long. He can't be changing that late in the year, just throwing a curveball at us out of the end gate there. Who do you got, Patrick, in terms of can winning?
Bobby Mack is back on the list, unfortunately. I let him out. I unground him. And then at the Open Championship, he receives a conduct warning. It's come on. You're doing so good. We put Augusta behind us. And then you do that at the Open Championship and you just blame on. It's like, oh, I'm Scott.
You just can't do that.
This is what I do. It's at some point we got to cut out that nonsense. So Bobby Mack. Also, I saw he was a lather sunscreen guy, not a spray. Don't love that in Memphis. Do not love that in Memphis. So he's on the can't win. Another pale, pasty guy is Patrick Cantlay. I know he's starting to play better golf, and it would be very Patrick Cantlay-esque to play just good enough that Brant Snedeker picks him as like the 12th guy on the team instead of someone like Jackson Koivun. But no, I'm putting the kibosh on that. That's not happening this time around. And then finally, Ludvig Åberg, I'm putting on the can't win list. Just curious to see the state of his game. Had that top 10 finish at the Open where it felt like we didn't see a single golf shot of his on the coverage. So excited to see him play and what he does this week, but I don't think it'll be winning.
Patrick, I heard a rumor a couple of years ago that the spray sunscreen was going away, that it was bad for like the reefs in the ocean, and it's still around. Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't know if sunscreen is good for you or bad for you or what. We're all going to die one day, so it doesn't really matter in my opinion. But it seems like every day something new is going to kill you. Between the lettuce, now there's jalapenos out there with Taylor Farms. I don't know what's going on with that operation out there, but they need to figure it out. And then you throw in the sunscreen factor, and it's just like, okay.
Crazy. You know what's not going to kill you? Some good barbecue. That's why we can root for Wags over the next few weeks. All right, let's get into who's going. I gotta say who can't win. I got Rory on my can't win list as well. I don't expect to see a lot out of Rory this week. I'd like to hear what Rory has to say about deciding to play after he talked about missing the first two events. He's been pretty honest with the media this year, so I'll be interested to hear what he has to say. I got Ludvig on mine. I got Xander. I got Patrick's boy on here as well. I just think Xander's going to end the year with no wins, which is a bit of a bummer for golf fans. But we'll transition to the positive. After talking about everything that will kill you, let's talk about somebody that actually is going to win this week, Johnson. Who do you feel like can win and who do you think is going to win?
I think it's going to be sort of an off-the-wall winner this week. I'm going with JT Poston can win. Mike Brennan could possibly go back-to-back. Similar conditions, similar heat. And then my winner is Ryan Gerard. I think Gerard's been close this year. He's played good golf, and I think it's just going to be an off-the-wall enough winner. He's going to vault himself near the top of that FedEx Cup points list with his W.
Patrick, are you the same in terms of an off-the-wall winner, or do you like more of the high favor boys?
I'm taking the odds. I'm going Morikawa, Hovland, and Henley. But my winner, I thought at the beginning of this postseason, it's like I kind of like Morikawa would be the FedEx Cup champ. And then I've talked myself into Scottie Scheffler winning these last three tournaments and being your FedEx Cup champ. So Scheffler starts his postseason run this weekend.
This is where the 10 wins come from. This
finally
year will be two, and then he'll just
run. I count as three
at the end of the year. Yeah, President's Cup, win a match there. On my can win list, I got Scotty on there as well. I like Scotty. I got Cantlay, I think, has a chance. He's been playing some solid golf at the Blade, but I don't think anybody's playing better golf right now than Hideki. Hideki, my official pick to take it done. I also think Hideki wins the FedEx Cup as a whole as well, the way he is playing. But nice to see Hideki with a great run at the end of the season. But playoffs are starting, Wags. You're headed out there. I know you're excited about it. Packing those shirts. Don't pack the black polo, bro. It's warm. You want to go wild on Saturday and Sunday. You got to go black polo.
Got to wear black.
That's tradition. All black. Everybody on the ground wears all black on Sundays.
Oh, man, that is tough. You got to get a Barella guy or somebody. Bring a buddy with you to keep you in the shade. I think that'd be the play. But FedEx St. Jude, just a reminder that Scorecard will be back over the weekend. You can watch FedEx St. Jude Championship coverage Saturday and Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. And us three will be back next Tuesday to recap it and prep everybody for the BMW at St. Louis.